So this morning, Pastor Delaney is going to continue our series, Unpacking Our Church's Mission Statement, which is guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our mission is to glorify God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus. And this morning, we will be unpacking the statement, followers and witnesses, through our November and December series. So let's ready our hearts to receive the words of Jesus found in Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 27. Here Jesus teaches his disciples that following him involves denying themselves. And Louise is now going to bring the reading for us.
Good morning, church. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing there will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God."
Thanks, Louise. Please keep that reading open in front of you. You're going to spend some time looking at those verses. Good morning, everyone. Let's pray before we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for the word that was read to us, your word. And we thank you that your word has power. And Lord, we pray this morning that your word will be powerfully at work in our lives, speaking to us, changing us, and Lord, challenging us, and healing us, and making us more and more like your Son, Jesus. And we ask this for your glory in his name. Amen. Now, you have probably heard or know about this boy who found his jar of cookies on the table, and he put his hand in to grab as many cookies as possible. He filled his palm, he filled his palm with as many cookies as possible, and he tried to get his hand out, and it couldn't come out. Stuck. He tried and he tried and he tried and he tried to take his hand out, and he couldn't. So he yelled out, "Mom, my hand's stuck." And then Mom saw what has happened. She said, "Son, just let the cookies go. Just let the cookies go." And then he could take his hand out. Well, today in the passage, we're not talking about cookies, but something similar Jesus says, isn't it, about following him. If you want to have Jesus, if you want to follow me, he says, you must let go. Now, why are we talking about following Jesus? As Jerome mentioned, these couple of months, we are thinking about our mission statement, couple of phrases in our mission statement, followers and witnesses. And last week, we spent some time thinking about this simple but very powerful call of Jesus to the very first disciples and all of us who wants to be his disciples, follow me. And to be a follower of Jesus according to Jesus is to be with him and to become like him and to do what Jesus did. And the very first disciples, if you remember last week, they responded remarkably, in a remarkable way, didn't they? They didn't know anything about Jesus. They haven't seen a miracle of Jesus. They haven't heard him preach, but he called them. They followed him immediately. And today we come to Luke chapter 9. When we come to Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 27, we don't know exactly how long these men have been following Jesus. Maybe about a year, year and a half, we don't know. But what Jesus does here is he gives them a test, a two-question test. The very first question he asks his disciples is, who do the crowd say I am? What is the popular opinion as you go around? What do they say about me? And they answer, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say that you are one of the old prophets, you had died and had come back to life. Then Jesus turns around to them and asks them a second but a very important question, doesn't he? What about you? Who do you say I am? Peter is kind of this spokesperson for the group. He always jumps in to answer questions and he makes this very glorious confession, right? He says, Jesus is God's Messiah. He is this long-awaited king that the people of Israel were waiting for, the promised king, the Christ. He's the king who is chosen, the special, anointed king of God. He will be powerful and wise. He'll establish God's kingdom that will last forever. So the whole of Israel were waiting for this king, this special king to arrive. And Peter and his friends, finally, it seems the penny has dropped. They recognized Jesus as the Messiah of God. What about you? Who do you say I am? This is one of the questions that Jesus would ask every one of us today. Whether you are hearing Jesus for the first time or you are a seasoned believer. And if you haven't already answered, how would you answer this question today? I mean, in these verses, one of the things Luke, who is writing this book, he wants to tell us, if you want to know Jesus, then be careful who you listen to. Don't listen to the crowds. Don't listen to the secular commentator, the philosopher, the secular scientist. Don't go by what the Google reviewer has to say about Jesus. Don't shape your view by what the TV or the social media or the newspapers say about him. Because for the crowds, for the fans of Jesus, he's John the Baptist. He's Elijah. Maybe one of the prophets of long ago who has come back to life. He may be a guru. He may be a miracle worker. He may be a good teacher, a social worker. He may even be a really nice man. Instead, if you want to know and follow the real Jesus, I think Luke wants us to say, listen to what those who followed Jesus has to say about him. As you know, they touched him. They've spoken to him. They heard him speak. They've seen him pray. They've seen him perform miracles, and they've shared meals with him. They went on mission with him, and they had seen his glory according to the John's Gospel. We have seen the glory of Jesus. The very first witnesses of Jesus, they wrote down what they saw in the Gospels, isn't it? In the New Testament for us. And if you want to know and follow the real Jesus today, read the Gospels and the New Testament. Because that is where you'll find the real, true Jesus. Now, after Peter had made this magnificent confession about who Jesus is, that he is God's Messiah, Jesus says something strange, doesn't he? In verse 21, he gives a strange command. He strictly warns them, he rebukes them not to tell anyone about what they've just found out. Now, this is strange, isn't it? Because this is good news. This is what Jesus should be glad of, and they should go and share this with everyone and anyone. But Jesus wouldn't want this to go public yet. Why? Because like the rest of the Israelites, these disciples had a very wrong expectation of the Messiah's mission, right? They expected the Messiah to be this earthly king, a powerful king who would go to war, crush and defeat all their enemies, overthrow the Romans, and who would establish the kingdom of Israel again, and it'll last forever, who would inaugurate this golden age of the people of Israel. Imagine what would have happened if this got out. People would flock to Jesus and make him king by force. And the Romans would get the sniff of this, and they would kill Jesus immediately, because Jesus would be a threat to the Roman emperor. Jesus' mission would be over even before it started. So he warns them in the strictest possible way not to tell anyone. But instead, what does he do? He takes a moment to teach them, correct their understanding, their expectation about the mission of the Messiah. And Jesus says, the Son of Man, which is another word for Jesus or the Messiah, must suffer many things. Be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed. And on the third day, be raised back to life. I imagine you just made this huge proclamation, Jesus, you are the Messiah of God, and disciples hearing this saying, what? The Messiah is going to be a suffering Messiah? Be rejected? Be killed? How could that be? You see, here is Jesus introducing himself as the self-denying Messiah. The self-denying Messiah. And we see this on the cross, don't we? A few years later. And as we sung this morning, the King who made the sun, the moon, and the stars loves himself to be held down and nailed to a cross by the soldiers. Jesus, the eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing God, the Creator, he willingly surrenders his power, his glory, his Godhood. He gives up everything. He denies himself to do his Father's will. He denies himself for our sake. And he will be glorified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. But the path to glory comes through suffering. Now, you probably know this song, the beautiful song that's written by the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Philippians. It's a hymn that he wrote in the early first century. On the screen, he writes this. Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, denied himself. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the likeness, in the human likeness, and being found in appearance of as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Friends, we have a Messiah who chose to empty himself, deny himself. And so we might ask, so what? It's good for Jesus that he did that. I mean, it's good for him. But what does it have to do with me? What does Jesus' self-denying has to do with me? I would say everything. Because after teaching and explaining to the disciples what his mission, what is going to happen soon, he turns to his disciples and everyone who is sitting there and listening to him. In verse 23, he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." You see, followers of a self-denying Messiah must be self-denying followers. And according to Jesus, this involves three imperatives, this is three verbs. First, they must deny themselves. A complete surrendering of their will, desires, rights and agendas and perhaps pride, status, righteousness, the identity that they may have created for themselves. It could be a habit, an unhelpful hobby, it could be sin, it could be a previous belief system, a religion that you're following or have followed. It says to gain, to get Jesus, the very thing we must do is to let go. Deny ourselves. Deny the things that we are holding on to, that we are trusting on to save us. I wonder what God might be asking you this morning to deny, to let go in this season of your life. Because that might be the thing that's stopping you from fully following and believing and enjoying the life that he wants to give you and me. Once they had given up, denied themselves, Jesus says, take up their cross daily. Now, a lot of people have some sort of an explanation for what this cross means. When I annoyed my mum, she used to say, you are the cross that God has given me. Right? The cross that I should bear. For some, they think the cross might be a sickness or a disability. Some people think carrying the cross might be caring for a sick person. For some, it might be your annoying neighbor or your boss or a colleague or a disobedient child. You see, they think that their cross is something that God has given them to test their faith, to keep them humble, something that they must carry without complaining. Now, no doubt, all of the things that I shared, the struggles that we have, no doubt all these things will humble us. It will grow our faith and it'll grow the fruit of the Spirit in and through us. But I don't think this is what Jesus meant when he says, bear your cross or take up your cross and follow me. The cross, my friends, is essentially a pointer to Jesus. And as we take up the cross daily, we identify ourselves with the death of Jesus. That we were crucified with Jesus on the cross that our old self is dead, our sin has been forgiven. Taking up the cross daily means to boast only in Jesus, not to boast in our own righteousness or our own achievements. Bearing the cost means to live in humility. Taking up the cross daily means to be a follower of Jesus, live as a follower of Jesus, putting on Christ every day. Put off yourself, put on Christ, taking up this new identity that Jesus has given us, which means to not just wear a cross around and walk around, no, be an active, living Christian. Someone who's not ashamed to call on Jesus. Someone who's not ashamed to follow his teachings. Take up the cross daily also means that it is hard work. Being a disciple of Jesus is not easy. The majority of the people today have this very cheap, easy view of being a disciple of Jesus, don't they? Come to church once a week, go to a midweek growth group perhaps, go onto the church roster, give some money to the church. Now friends, if that's all what disciples means to you this morning, let me tell you, then you have a lot of growing to do. Now listen to what one of the New Testament commentators, David Garland, has to say about discipleship. It'll come up on the screen. The call and the instant response of these fishermen reveal something of what discipleship to Jesus entails and should shatter our comfortable world of middle-class discipleship. Disciples are not those who simply fill pews at worship, fill out pledge cards, attend an occasional Bible study, and offer help out in the work of the church now and then. They are not merely eavesdroppers and onlookers. When one is hooked by Jesus, one's whole life and purpose in life are transformed. Just have a look at that. Reflect on that a bit. When one is hooked by Jesus, one's whole life and purpose in life needs to transform. The way we live, the reason we live, needs to be transformed. And I don't know about you, it is hard work. It is hard work. It's like trying to turn this huge freight carrier around, which is going at its top speed. You can't just do a U-turn. It takes time and effort and all the resources and all the help that we need. But that's what we need to do, according to Jesus. Deny ourselves, take up the cross, and finally follow Jesus. Friends, to be a follower of Jesus is to get Jesus, to have Jesus, to be with him, to become like him, to do what he did. And to have Jesus, we must let go. We must deny ourselves. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You need to let go of one to follow the other. And Jesus warns, doesn't he? He says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in glory. What that means is if you don't give up yourself or the world around you to gain Jesus, if you don't deny yourself to gain Christ now, you will be denied access to God's kingdom on the day Jesus returns. Jesus will deny you. But those who get Jesus, those who have Jesus, those who walk in his ways, in this hard road or difficult road of discipleship, will end with the richest blessings of being part of God's kingdom, isn't it? He promises life. Life to the full. Not only life eternal, it's not just a pass to get into heaven. No, life now. A fruitful, blessed, joyful, purposeful life of contentment. Remember the boy whose hand got stuck in the jar? No point in having all the cookies that you can grab in your palm if you can't get your hand out of the jar. And according to verse 25 of Luke chapter 9, to gain the whole world but lose your life is really bad investment. It's a bad investment. And if you're thinking, this is hard, it is hard. It is hard work of following Jesus. It is not for the faint-hearted to follow Jesus. But then, we are not alone, are we? We have the Spirit of God who helps us, the Helper who helps us to understand where we need to change, to help us when we fail and fall, to lift us up. The Spirit who helps us to come and ask forgiveness for those times that we have failed to live as a follower of Jesus, to when we have failed to deny ourselves. The Spirit comes to help us. You see, friends, Jesus' desire for us is to have life. Life to the full. When he says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him. He doesn't want to kill our joy. He's not asking us to follow him so that he wants to make our life miserable. No, he wants to give life. Life to the full. One of the old hymns that I really like has these words. In the morning, give me Jesus. In the noontime, give me Jesus. At night, give me Jesus. When I'm alone, give me Jesus. When I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all the world, but give me Jesus. Friends, may this be your prayer. May this be our prayer this morning. You can have all the world, but give me Jesus. Whether you are a seasoned believer or a brand new Christian, let us learn to follow the path of our Savior, a self-denying Savior who calls us to be self-denying followers. So let's take a couple of moments to reflect on what we've just heard this morning. And even ask God to show you areas that you need to work on. Where do I need the help from the Holy Spirit to give up something? Let's do that for a couple of minutes. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you call us to follow Jesus. That is the only way that we can have a relationship with you. And thank you, Father, for challenging us this morning to hear and challenging us to know that this following Jesus requires giving up, denying, surrendering. And Father, you know what we need to surrender and and you have revealed that to us. So we pray, Lord, in the days and weeks and months to come, Father, may you help us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Jesus all the days of our lives. And we ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.